What about your smart car?
That doesn't do that great, does it?
I bet it does better than mine.
Andrew, you said it, application, let's
keep going.
Call him, get him going.
Ready to do it?
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come here today and conduct the business of the city and the airport. Lord, we just pray that you'll guide us and watch over us and help us to make decisions that will be good for everyone involved. In our holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, call the board, please.
Terry Crawford is excused. Randy Klein.
I am here.
Andrew Lazar.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
Gary Waldron.
Here.
We have four.
All right. Consideration of minutes of previous meetings and for email. We have any corrections or additions?
One more.
Hold on. Second. Wait a minute. They aren't attached.
I never got the email.
Yeah, wait. Where?
I think.
Well, okay. Hold on, where do I go?
You never got the email?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a minute, look at them. Let's see. Okay. Any corrections or additions to the minutes?
I move that be approved.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second?
Second.
Second?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, unfinished business, RFP.
Thank you. RFP 11-008. Committee met several times. We went through and scored the three responses. We had three: Landmark Aviation, Dunphy, and Ocala Jet Center. Each, and we should have foreseen this coming. The RFP, as broad as it was, netted some pretty broad proposals. So it was difficult in scoring. But what we did score, it ended up being Landmark was 5 points above Dunphy. And those two were clearly above the Ocala Jet Center proposal.
Who are the principals of each?
Landmark Aviation, we're all familiar with Landmark. Dunphy is essentially a land developer, property developer in Orlando. Ocala Jet Center, essentially their principals are made up of those associated with Stavola Aviation. Proposals, Landmark, broadly speaking, Landmark's proposal was essentially terminal and FBO services. Dunphy's proposal was terminal development, basically offering a mechanism to fund it. And then Ocala Jet Center was terminal and FBO services. Right now, it's the committee's desire to encourage Landmark and Dunphy to basically team up and come up with some sort of a financial proposal for FBO and terminal development. They were the top two. We'd like to work with both of them. So we had a meeting yesterday, a conference call, with the principals of both teams, and we kind of pushed them in that direction, and we're going to continue moving in that direction. I believe we have a meeting, I think it was May 9th or 10th, with Landmark and Dunphy, and we'll all sit down and
what did Dunphy envision? That was a non-terminal FBO.
Dunphy was proposing to build about a 20,000 square foot terminal facility. And and then they would figure out the FBO services afterwards. They listed Shelter as somebody they would work with, but it was more of an afterthought than anything in the, as listed in the proposal, which is why we're encouraging to work with Windmark.
How would they join together?
Well, that's why we want to sit across the table and see if we can come up with some ideas.
But no development across the way?
Not yet, no. No proposal mentioned any development on the west side.
All right.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
Any questions with Matt on that? All right.
Did I miss anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Signs?
Yeah, this is the signage, street side signage. It should be delivered either today or tomorrow. That's the word I received from Indy Signs. Basically, we're doubling the size of the signage. It's more than doubling the size of the signage, the text, so it should be a marked improvement.
And it's okay with it?
Yes. A couple corrections from some of the tenants, but other than that, like Tailwinds, it's actually Tailwind Cafe, things like that.
Okay. Any questions about the signs?
Tulip.
I didn't know what to put down on this page. The council workshop, literally, I just left the council workshop. It was today. A lot of information. We're still moving forward with it. Council is supportive of it. We've been moving forward with it under the assumption that the airport is going to sell the property to the city, and the city would convey it, be simple, to the Tulip people. At the end of the meeting, or at least when I had leave to come to this meeting, that was leaning more towards a desire to lease the property now to Project Tulip, which changes a lot of things. By leasing it, we'll still retain control of the property. It's highly desirable for us to do that. And from my personal perspective, I would much rather lease it than sell it. The revenue in the short term won't be the same, but in the long term, depending on how the lease is drafted, we might actually get more revenue out of it than if we sold it, to be simple. It's unclear if the Project Tulip people will buy off on that, but their attorneys and our attorneys are going to work on it. They wanted an agreement with the lease language ready for this coming council meeting on the 3rd. Our city attorney basically threw up his hands and said, we just worked 2 months nonstop on a fee simple agreement, and now you want us to do it in 3 days. So I don't think it'll make the May 3rd meeting. Trip to New York went well. I don't know how valuable it was. It was eye-opening. The one thing that I got out of that trip from what was conveyed to me was the local community did not appreciate the development until after it was there. I guess it did great things for the community. It's unclear what kind of satellite effects happened as far as other indirect economic benefits, but apparently there were some quantifiable ones, but they weren't conveyed to me. I didn't hear what those benefits were.
Oh,
excellent. Thank you for speaking. Albert was in the meeting as well. Do you have anything to add?
Well, I think you've got sort of the gist of it. I think the way that it's designed, I met with Martin Mandel and actually met with Jose Cortez. I want to know everything about it from the standpoint of what about this board meeting, or just as a citizen, about the master plan. How does it work with the master plan? And is it compatible with what you're trying to do? And about if they do fail, and then, of course, these guys are saying, we're not going to fail, but they're pro forma because they're not, you know, nobody thinks you're going to fail, but the land sale portion would provide the city with roughly, Matt, was it $3 million that they actually did sell?
Yeah, phase one and phase two.
Yeah, phase one and phase two would be $3 million to the airport, and that would be a nice bit of cash that the airport could use and leverage against all kinds of grants and whatnot. The question that I had, and nobody spoke obviously because it was a workshop, and I think their concern is like a bond or letter of credit or something to secure the way that the money's going to be paid back. Gooding made the point that most of the time the money comes back in the form of ad valorem taxes, which is a great system of how you repay it back through whether the tax certificates, either they're paying their tax bill or tax certificates or tax deed, you're going to get paid. And this one, 70% of the payback was by electrical use. And therefore, if it went dark, the payback of the investment wouldn't be there. So Gooding had a pretty good way to try and do that. And then the discussions Matt talked about is if they did the land lease, you'd get to control that. So I think the provisions of how you protect the city to be able to get that payback was probably the most important part. I had to leave just ahead. I had to leave for a 1:30 doctor's appointment, so I missed the very tail end of that. And I think it got back to the devil's in the details of how that developer's agreement works, and I think Gooding is probably doing a pretty good job of doing that. I'm probably just going to volunteer to just get a copy of the developer's agreement and see, and that's changing evidently now from the purchase to maybe to a land lease, and I'm sure it's going to be a little more complicated from that. I know some of the downtown stuff, and it's all history, the Gutman stuff, there wasn't good callbacks in case the guy didn't perform. And I'm sure that the council and staff want to make sure that there's ample language in there to bring that back. You know, the question comes up with whether the city decides to invest $9.5 million into an industry that it's a good clean industry. If those jobs are going to come in here, I think they said they're going to average not 31 but like $34,000 per job. I was just curious. How much is upper management? How much is rank and file? The rank and file is making, you know, $30,000 a year. So those are great jobs here. But you know, in today's environment, we need jobs. And I didn't hear anything from Jose Cortez's presentation. I was with him for a couple hours about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. You know, a little video thing. I was talking to Mike Amston from the county who went up on the trip, and you know, all the guys were really impressed with the impact after it was there and the reception from the community, that there was a lot of satellite work that was happening out of that.
Close to the airport was the facility to look at. Didn't they have glass roofs? What about reflective light in their glass?
It's going to be an issue that the FAA will look at, but I think it's easily mitigated. There are solar farms on airports, actually on terminal buildings. So there's precedent on some sort of, you know, reflectivity. So.
Yeah, but solar is black.
Well,
it's a mirror.
Yeah.
And these are translucent. You want as much light to come in these greenhouses as possible. So, I mean, mirrors are what I thought FAA would object to. Was it Lakeland that's just got a solar farm?
Yeah, and you know, Williston's talking about doing it on their T-hangers as well. But it's not the use that worries me getting through the FAA. I think the FAA will approve it, no problem. I mean, they'll do their due diligence, of course, but my main concern is the time it's gonna take to go through the land release if we do a fee simple purchase. If we let that property go and let the city of Ocala buy it from the airport, it involves a release of the property, and it's an application process to the FAA. My gut feeling is it'll take no less than 30 days to work through the FAA and to get some sort of a letter back, an answer. And if it's a positive answer, that just means that they have to publish it in the federal register and open it up for discussion. And then after the appropriate, you know, comment period is over, they'll close it and then they'll issue a final order and tell us if we can do it. I don't think that much time is going to work into the timeline for Project Tulip. They want to be making tomatoes by December.
Yeah, they have to be constructed by December to be able to get the tax credits that they represented to their investors. That you get 100% accelerated depreciation in 2011. 2012, you get 50% accelerated depreciation. And I believe that was a lot to do with the performance of the investors getting in. So there's, like in Randy, as you all know, anytime there's a big push, we got to get this done now, and, you know, all the red flags go up on the radar of, okay, are we getting ready to make a mistake? You know, it's almost like slow down, let's make sure we don't mess this up, because it is 120 acres of the airport land, and it's 9.5 million, and it's, you know, all the fallbacks need to be in there. So I appreciate, I was there when getting to, I, you know, I just can't turn this thing around, because that's just way too much to try and put in an agreement to cover all your bases on that. But if it's a sale, there's no, I don't say there's no way, it's questionable about whether the FAA can move fast enough for them to actually take possession of land, get building permits, water management district permits, like, you know, heck, those are, ideally it'd be 60 days, but most of the time it's like 120 days. And that's if nothing really goes wrong.
Well, it's a non-standard use of lower medium piles, and the Tulip was brought up again. Everybody was kind of bit their lip a little bit and said, I thought that had died. And I said, no, to the best of my knowledge, it's still going on. And I said, it's so totally non-standard for the airport. And the general public view is they need more education on it, because what they understood right now, this understanding of the general public on it, is that these guys are putting in literally nothing. We're putting in everything, we got to wait 10 years and hope that they're successful before we get anything back. If we do, and in the interim, we've lost the possibility of standard utilization for an airplane, airport thing. Now that was about 25 to 30 guys at the meeting. And I said, there should hopefully be more information on it and get some good press on the thing, because if the fact it's going to go through, there's a lot of people biting their lip on this thing. It's really going. But like you say, in your visit, you said that the people at the facility initially were against it also, or at least had a lot of questions on it.
Well, what kind of incentives did they get?
Up in New York?
Yeah.
I don't know. But as far as the use goes, Jerry, that side of the airport is not, is designated non-aviation use, west of the road that we're putting in. And if you can convey that to, you know, the EAA constituents, that would.
I'm just saying everybody's controversy is how much we're going to pay to get it.
Right.
All right, we're not being asked for a recommendation.
Not right now, it's just about.
And we don't have enough information to make a recommendation. So.
But if it does end up going to council on the 3rd, I'll be letting the board know, because you should be there.
Well, that's what I kept waiting for, is the meeting, and I apparently missed the one that you all were at.
It was a workshop, so only the people that they wanted to speak spoke. You just were in the audience listening.
Because you had said that you would like to have some of us as representation attend the thing, and that's fine, but I never heard when and read different policies.
I notified Terry Crawford of the workshop, he was not able to make it. I think he actually conveyed his seat to Albert.
But I think Terry knew that I had met with the city staff on this, and I met with the Jose Cortez, so at least I was sort of in the loop of listening to that. But yeah, I think I'll
the workshops are open to the public.
Yeah, anybody can go.
But you have to know that they're happening. Can you let us know if there's another one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Email. Okay, any other on the Tulip project?
No.
New business, Henry Aviation.
Yeah, Henry Aviation, it is in a little bit of a pickle. They are behind on their concession fees to the city. We've been working with them in the past. They were doing good for a while. They were catching up, and then all of a sudden, everything stopped. We sent them a letter that there was a notice of default. It was sent on April 13th. They have 30 days to cure. After that, they will be in default and basically hold them in violation of the agreement. I am asking the board for a recommendation of termination of their operating agreement if it's not cured by May 13th.
A lease operating agreement? Are you talking about a lease?
Yes. We don't have a lease with Henry Aviation. We have an operating agreement under our minimum standards. Landmark Aviation has a specific lease, a ground lease or an office lease with them, which they are also in violation of as well. And I believe they are in default to that.
They're already in default. They were in default as of the same day, April 13th. Same day you sent your letter was my default day.
That's right.
Have you sent them a notice of default?
Yeah, we did. And our 30 days ended on the 13th. I've been back and forth with our attorneys in Houston today, and they said it's a lot harder in the state of Florida to kick somebody out of a facility because we just want to go in there and lock the doors, and you can't do it. I guess there's a whole other process that you have to follow through with, which I'm sure you're aware of. And that's what they're kind of researching right now.
Call the conviction.
Yeah, you have to file some kind of possession or...
Yeah, you have to file a conviction.
Yeah.
You have to...
That's probably what I just got an email to talk to Ted as soon as I get out of the meeting, so I imagine we will be doing that within the next couple of days.
And I've been receiving a number of complaints in the past few days on our operation.
Especially today.
Yeah, especially today.
Yeah.
Like what?
Work performed that was not authorized. Work performed to intentionally ground an aircraft, and that's all speculative. But that was a complaint that was forwarded to me today. That's basically it.
All right. Request.
I mean, I have a notice up now from my employees that we're not to move anything from Mr. Henry without written consent from the customer. Like, no more phone calls saying take it, but yeah, it's just not going to happen.
How does that affect your agreement with the city for?
Well, we'll be in default, right, Matt? Mm-hmm. Landmark will be in default when they default this is right here. Because we have to have an agent, but yeah. I do have a couple of people ready to move in right away.
Whenever you can actually affect it.
Exactly. We just need to follow the right process. And but like I say, my people are checking on it. It's just they're used to Texas law, so they're talking to Florida attorneys and what we need to do in Florida.
What's the effect of terminating an operating agreement if they're in possession? What can't they do if they legally can't operate on the field? Is that what?
They can't wrench on aircraft if they don't have an operating agreement with the airport or the city. So, in our teeth in the matter is, we cancel their operating agreement, Landmark's in violation of the lease. Landmark takes care of the discrepancy and boots them out. Finds a new person.
All right, we have a motion to... So, terminate the operating agreement with Mike Trim on May 13th, 2011. For a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Next.
Thank you. FDOT grants. I had a meeting with our District 5 FDOT representative Jim Wickstrom about a month ago, and I want to sit down with him and talk to him about the grants in the next grant cycle, which start July 1st of this year, and during that conversation, I kind of casually mentioned I've got some projects that I'd like to get done this year if he had any leftover grant money. And he stated that he did have some leftover grant money. Go ahead and get him a list of things that you want to get done, and he'll see what he can do. So I gave him a list of about 7 different items, and he came back and said that he could fund these 4. The ALP, that's the Airport Layout Plan and Aviation Demand Forecast Update, that actually came out of a meeting with the FAA on the Project Tulip. Those are items that we need to get done in order for an approval with Project Tulip, especially if we do a fee simple purchase or fee simple sale of land. Security project, that was already funded on the city side. We had about $100,000 budgeted for that. We found a company, we're going to contract with them, the total is $85,591. That is 100% grant funded project from the state. So there's zero match from the city.
What does it consist of?
The security project, we are going wireless. All of our gates are going to get brand new keypads and card readers. Your card will have your own designated PIN number to go with it. You'll need both to get in. You'll need both to get out as well. So we'll have card readers to come in and card readers to go out of the gates. It'll all be wireless technology. We'll be able to update the gates from our office. Instead of having to update each gate independently and separately, we can do it all at once with a click of a keystroke. We are also putting up some security cameras around the airfield. Right now we don't have any. We'll have them in strategically placed locations to basically cover the whole airfield, and it'll run a continuous looping circuit. The airfield blower, this is something that my operations staff and I looked at a couple of years ago, and weren't sure how we were going to fund it. We've got a pull behind runway sweeper right now. It's actually a three-piece runway sweeper, or pavement sweeper, if you will. And it does okay. It does all right. It picks up a lot of dirt, but it could do better. So we looked at a pull-behind blower, and this particular unit is actually a twin blower, and it will knock your feet out from underneath you. It will basically blow the dirt and debris off into the safety area, and combined with the sweeper, I think we'll be able to provide an even safer environment for the pilot. One thing that's nice about the blower, it actually will clear in between the grooves of the runway, whereas a sweeper just kind of glosses over it. The blower actually gets the corners really well too. Sometimes we get stuff stuck in the corners if we're making that turn with the pull behind. But we're excited about that. State hasn't funded one of these before, so they had to do a little bit of research into it, but they're going to fund it for us. 80-20 money. So our cost is $2,200. And then the Wildlife Hazard Management Plan, I just yesterday received the hazard assessment, which took a year to produce. That's where our environmentalists, they'd come out and they'd survey the airport 3 times a week for alternating weeks for an entire year, and document what they saw out here and assess what the hazard would be. Now the next step is to come up with a hazard management plan. This is a requirement of the FAA Part 139 certificate. So we're moving forward with that. The state's going to help fund that as well. In all, these 4 projects, our total match requirement is $23,208. It's $23,000 that we did not budget for this year, so we'll have to go back through CIP committee with the city and then go to council and get it approved. But I don't foresee any problems in getting these grants approved through city council. But I would ask for your support in sending it all up.
Okay.
Yes, please. We've already applied. How about that the board supports moving forward with executing the grant documents once received?
Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion on it? Questions from that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Construction updates. Southwest 67th Avenue is being paved. They're putting asphalt down, and there's a big rush to do that with the increase in the price of oil. But it's looking good. I've driven it. It looks great. I know Bill's happy.
That's phase one, and we also should the notice received for phase two. So basically, the roadway should be open to the public 2 months ahead of schedule, which will be October, August, October, somewhere there of 2011.
Phase two, which one gets it to State Road 40?
Pardon?
Yes.
Phase two?
Phase two.
Across the...
Yeah, he's almost finished phase one. Phase two, they're starting to do the strip. The gopher tortoises are gone, and they're starting construction.
So this contract on that?
Art Walker.
Oh, okay. Now, did they have to relocate the tortoises?
We only found one, and yes, they are relocated. There's under the state permit, there's a specific site where you take them to and all. And you'd have to, you know, diaper them and take care of them. You would actually have to wait to a certain temperature. That's why we were delayed. You couldn't touch them when it was below 50 because they're dormant.
You know, what's really nice is we were really concerned about the tortoises because we've always seen just, it looked like the moon out there. There were so many holes. In phase one, they had over 30 holes that they had to dig up and investigate, but I think they only pulled out 7 tortoises out of those 30 holes. And of those 7, only 2 or 3 met the criteria to be relocated. So,
I think the construction kind of scared them away. They didn't like the trucks that went by their home.
Southwest runs things fast.
Yes, they do.
You know, Randy, if they're endangered, why are there so many of them?
Don't they taste like eagles?
A cross between that and manatee.
Can we strike that from the road?
Really?
Jerry, what project are you talking about?
The landfill.
Oh, the
landfill. Landfill. Yeah.
The trash one.
Yeah, trash one. Now, the question I was going to get to is the tulip situation, does that have a problem with birds?
It's
all self-contained.
It is. They do have water reservoirs, but they need to preserve the integrity and the purity of the water they collect. So apparently it is covered. So there is no open source of water. But that is something that the FAA will have to
look into. Well, because they're catching so much hell on the East Coast now with all the bird strikes that are going on. And of course, they are devastating to get into them. To hit the airplane, I hit one landing.
Yeah.
And you can't believe one of those big black birds at 130 or 35 on a turning climb, and it put a dent in the wing like you can't believe.
All right. They're retrofit electric upgrades, it's AFP 22. Wayne, put you on the spot. How far along are we on the transition from Echo to Alpha?
It was completed 1 minute.
Okay. So we are now taxiway Alpha. We are not Echo anymore. Yep. And the runway lights are up and working. And apparently they are exquisitely bright. So you should be able to see them for miles and miles. And
what else have left to do?
The taxiway work north. Although they have completed some taxiway work during phase one. They still have about 2 months more to go. We've got a change order coming down the pike. Change order is to install some additional signage that's required by the FAA. And there are some changes in the field that we need to do. The PAPIs, the bases need to be changed. They're not compatible with the electrics in there. So. But it adds, basically it adds 5 weeks to the project.
Last meeting, I think we were going to Jacksonville. Is that when you going to Jacksonville or something for a? They had asked for an extension, and you were going somewhere.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was.
Is that including the 5 weeks there? I think
it's all. That's all inclusive. Yeah. So there was part of that issue was the signage that was bid on the project. We had bid one size of sign, but we've got existing signage that was installed from previous projects that is another size, but the brand new signs that are staying. So in an effort to keep some sort of consistency with the whole project, we changed the size of the sign. The contractor was fine with that. It added some additional time to the project. We've accounted for that. One of the main issues, unfortunately, the engineer, though they changed the design on the size of the sign, they forgot. Literally, there's no other way to say it, but they forgot to address the sign bases, the concrete. So the contractor installed the size 2 bases in the size 2 locations when they should have been size 1 bases in the size 1 locations. The engineer of the project took care of that cost to fix it, to make it right. I think it was about $25,000. So that was one of the issues that I had to go up there and discuss with them as well. So that was their screw up, and they paid for it.
All righty. Uh-huh.
Next. Fuel report. Year to date, we have right here, we're at 178,000 gallons. Pumped both ab gas and jet fuel year to date. That is the worst 3 month start since 2001. And then you can see where we are monthly. Remember, these are deliveries, so you see a 98% increase. It's because February of 2010 was only about 8,400 on that time. You've got a 98% increase here and a 50% decrease here. It just means that the deliveries were flip-flopped. Could have happened on the last day of the month. So overall, let's take a look at the year-to-date. We're negative 17.7% over this time last year. Last year was also negative. The year before that was negative. We're just sliding.
Did all these changes affect you and your operation up there with, when they settle down with what the FAA's new rules are concerning power command?
I don't think so. For staffing things, construction, yep. Hall, model. load for us, because it's pretty well contracted in the sense that that's just the way they work, what they've always done, and they've had no problems. But you never know.
All right, what about operations?
Operations, we're still tracking 65,000 for the year. I don't have the graphs, so.
All right, you have anything else?
I do. Fuel sales, this is the price comparison as of this morning. They're high, they're all high. But proportionally speaking, Ocala is pretty much where it was the previous 4 months as far as the ratio goes. The highest jet fuel down there, Signature in Orlando, $7.31 a gallon. Avgas, St. Pete Signature, $8.27 a gallon for Avgas, full serve. Williston's still showing the lowest. No, I'm sorry. Pagefield, the lowest, $4.34 a gallon. Full serve Avgas. Flagler's got, Flagler and Page are tied for, you know what, I think I reversed those. Pagefield's self-serve is more expensive than their full serve. I think those are flip-flop. 484 should be Pagefield's. Looking at Williston jet fuel, 470. Kissimmee, 455 a gallon.
What are you charging the tenants?
Avgas?
Yeah.
It depends on volume. The standard discount is 25% off retail, but we've got self-serve available at $1.40 less. And that's been maintained for almost a year now since we've been able to do that. So it's always $1.40 off of whatever post it is for self-serve.
So it's $5.55 right now for self-serve at Ocala. At least that's what it was on the air net. Couple dates to remember. May 14th, having a hurricane expo again like we did last year. C-130 will be here. County's putting that on. May 17th, we've got the control tower question and answer forum. And June 14th is honor flight. They were thinking it would happen in May, but it got pushed back a little bit further. And we are purchasing a set of air stairs. The airport is. We found some revenue, found a good price for a set, and we issued a purchase order and authorized the vendor to deliver it or make it. They have to build it. But it should be here in time for honor play. And we'll charge for its use, try and make up that money.
What's the cost?
Like $300, $400.
No, $20,000.
Oh, total? What was it?
$20,000. They don't have any use for it yet.
Yeah, we've been shopping for years looking for some.
All right. Anything else, Matt?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Bert, you just power?
No. We're just checking. Still a body down, but we selected someone. Should have a new body. I hope to have a new body in somewhere in the 1st of June. That'll help. We're okay.
Anything about the radar? Nothing?
No, money's still tight.
Yeah. I'll follow up. Our congressman was supposed to try to price some of that out.
You can still use it, I assume.
Yes, sir.
May I ask you to email me the specs of what you need so I can pass it on to an aide, exactly what you need. What do you call it? What do you need?
You mean the equipment itself?
The equipment itself. What is it that you need?
It's called, I can come up with that information.
Yeah, if you would, then I can forward it to an aide.
You want to ask specifically?
specifically you need so we can get it right in minutes?
Star.
What's her?
Star, name is Doris. It's D-A-R and Star.
That's it?
It's an acronym.
It's just an acronym.
All right.
But it's radar units.
Star's radar unit, is that, that the idea?
You know what you're talking about.
All right, I mean, for safety purposes, definitely would be safe. All right, there's a motion, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Good. Not ready then?
Yeah.
Hang in there?
Barely. I mean, it doesn't help us with the maintenance facility, because we, you know, we kind of build off each other.
They said they gotta get another one.
But it's been quiet, I mean, a little pickup here and there, but it's been real quiet this month. It's not been fun with the bus as far as I can see, as far as a lot of it goes, the weather was bad.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't help boost sales like it usually did each year.
When does the new transponder do?
New transponder? Most of that has been rescinded.
Pardon?
Most of the transponders have been rescinded. But he's got ELT.
ELT.
ELTs, they still don't have a specific date for compliance. In fact, they actually backed it off a little bit where you can still use the old 121 megahertz out there and where before you couldn't replace it, you couldn't, you know, you couldn't even sell it. That's all been rescinded a couple months ago. So they're not making them though, but they're, you know, if they haven't been stocked yet, they still are allowed to sell them out.
How about ELTs?
That's what I'm saying, ELT. Transponders, it's with all the aspects of it, the biggest thing is they ever get the rewrite on the, for add speed of whether or not the transponder will be compatible with that system or not. But that's been bouncing back and forth between committees and everything else. So even the stuff, the equipment that's been out there, all of a sudden is not compatible, or not so much compatible, but the FAA says, you know, they're non-usable. Audit, they work fine, but also they're non-usable. So it kind of goes back and forth. But until we get the FAR is written on the ASB, that'll make a difference on the transponders.
Thank you.
Who's your competition?
Our competition?
Yeah.
Well, there's a facility, American Aviation, down in Hernando or Brooksville. There's a small shop in Leesburg, which isn't really Central Florida Avionics. We don't have too much there. The biggest one we deal with is like Gulf Coast out of Lakeland and some out of Orlando. But we don't have a lot of competition. We just have a quiet base of most of our customers are on fixed incomes or retirement funds and stuff like this, so the free money is not quite there that they can just give them.
Okay. Renovations are yet and yet. It looks great. If you haven't had a chance to go over, it looks really good. Just waiting for a few pieces of furniture to be in, major landscaping to be done, and finish up the lighting and hang the 14. And then we'll have a grand opening and, you know, let everybody go through both facilities and see what's been done. But it's looking great. A long haul and a lot of arguments with the contractor, but we're getting there. Now, I've got a question. I guess I should bring that to the board. Mm-hmm. The gate that we're responsible for next to our building.
Yep.
I don't feel it's right that we should be responsible for that gate. I mean, 95% of the people in the airport go through that gate that aren't in our tenants. And I'm just like, we'll bring it up formally and see if we can pursue that a little bit. I just don't think, you know. It's open all day long, with probably 10% use for us.
Can you hang on?
Yeah.
Suggesting a toll gate?
Well, I'm just suggesting, I mean, it's not that it breaks all the time, but I just don't see why it should be our financial responsibility when it's, you know, not our tenants are going through here.
All right, well, sit down and talk to my staff about something we can do.
That's probably a carryover from the fact that originally when all the team were all under.
It could
It wasn't coincidence that you're sitting next to each other?
Okay. Any other amendments?
No, sir.
No?
All right.
Have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
First, you got to do a great job. I'm usually going to the left. Yeah, we're, and I'll report back.
Twisted the document.
That's the law.
I'm kind of surprised.